We are back with the next episode of the Raiders Rambles. I am Jolt, chief host of the show, and joined today with none other than my co-host, Avira.
Hi, guys. I hope you're having a fantabulous day and or night. Welcome back.
Yeah, sorry for the absence from last week, Avira. What happened?
I wasn't really feeling too well last week. Pretty stressful. Had some kind of stomach bug going on. But I am feeling absolutely amazing right now. I'm looking forward to a fantastic episode.
Yeah. Like, I can totally relate that. I got a sudden sickness, like, just the week before the cancelled episode. So,
yeah.
Never fun when that happens, too.
Something's been going around. I don't know. But it's all good to be back.
It must all be connected, huh? Anyway, glad you're back. Glad you're feeling so much better now. So, yeah. Next on the show, we have Noble.
Hey, again.
Welcome back. And next on the show, we have Stifer.
Hello, everyone's favorite zombie Otto is back again.
Yes, yes, yes. That's right. So, let's dig right into the whole meat of it, shall we? As for our namesake of the show, Leaving a Scholar, yes. This one here. You wouldn't believe, like, if it's your dream to literally be, you know, working in anime of your own, you might just have a path to that today. Netflix offering full Tokyo anime school scholarships with living expense support open to foreigners.
Well, now that doesn't sound too terrible.
Right, but you got to consider, remember, this is Japan we're talking about. You have to be able to learn how to write in Japanese, read in Japanese, and a whole lot more as well.
And it's for Netflix, so how well is that going to be?
You're going to have to be ready for the culture shock.
Mm. Yeah. Like, and I don't think you can, you know, try and push Western values and such. Fortunately, Japan, people love it when you do try, you know, when you do become appreciative of their culture. You know, dressed like them, such. I've been there.
All right, well, let's see what this article says.
Netflix is teaming up with Attack on Titan, Ghost in the Shell Studios for course designed by Studio Ghibli veteran. Already sounding like they got the big guns out. Pretty much as soon as it arrived in Japan, Netflix made anime a major pillar of its content mix. And now, Netflix's continued presence within Japan anime industry, and now it doesn't want to just be involved in creating animation, but animators too. So, yeah, I think, so now we know that anime is becoming more and more popular these days, especially considering the current circumstances we're in. So, you know what, I think, why not, right?
It does sound interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, how much will the course cost students? Not a single yen. Netflix is footing the bill as a scholarship and is even pledging to help students out with their living expenses during the program. Wow. So, Netflix is going to be helping students who want to help work on these animations. Interesting. That's a big investment.
That is insane.
My concern would be more how the industry would feel about it. So in the news in the last couple of weeks or months, a few select actual like bigwigs in the anime world over in Japan don't like the idea of foreigners interfering with their thing. For instance, China, America, ordering that things have to go a certain way in these shows. that they're making.
Right. And moves. Like, here's the thing. I understand, like, where this is going to go with, you know? Like, Japan, I know, is naturally a really insular country, not, like, the, you know, distrustful foreigners. Didn't take in that many refugees and such. And, yeah, like, what would happen if, you know, what would happen if the Westerners tried imposing the values? Like, dear God, you know, what if they started putting California values into anime?
Oh, no, don't say that blasphemy. You did not just go there.
What Netflix needs to realize is they shouldn't be trying to go after anime. They need to make their own thing. Because eventually, if this ends up going badly, it'll be seen as knockoff anime, and more than likely, people in Japan are going to get horribly pissed at it, at which point companies in America may start soon finding it difficult to actually buy anime or get the licenses to it. So this could turn around and bite them in the ass.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, look how big Attack on Titan is in anime in general these days. Imagine that turning into a Netflix adaptation.
Yeah, all that has to happen is some Japanese company or investors turn around and go, let's see, our show's really popular in America and the companies here don't want to turn around and sell or license to anyone in the US. What would stop them from investing money in making up their own company and then reselling it so all the profits then go straight back to Japan?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I guess that would be greed would probably allow that to happen. But, you know, I think one of the best kind of fusions of American animation and anime-esque type of style would be Avatar: The Last Airbender. You know, that was American anime. I know that might sound pretty weird, but like that's kind of that worked pretty damn well, in my opinion. Right?
Yes, but then again,
isn't that a good example?
It is, but you also didn't have a bunch of crazy fucks working on the show, I'm guessing.
Before we do that, though, it won't be that easy, though. Like, let's have a look at the requirements for the course. Applicants must be between 18 and 25 years old and have graduated from high school no later than March of 2021. Soon? While Japanese residency is required, non-Japanese citizens are welcome to apply, and full Japanese language fluency is not a must, as long as applicants are able to have everyday conversations in Japanese.
So you need to already at least know the basic of the language, because they're not going to provide it for you. You're going to need to know it yourself, or have already been taught it.
More or less, yes. You must, you know, like you need to know how to go to the shops and, you know, deal with the shopkeepers. You need to know such things.
Here's the thing. A lot of people are probably going to think you can just breeze through all this. No, the culture shocks, especially from a place like America, is just going to completely throw you 3 ways on Sunday if you've never been to Japan.
Oh, yes. Like, everything works so much differently in every different place, but especially, like, people a lot of the time assume, oh, English is understood everywhere. Well, it isn't, especially if you go to an Asian country, especially Japan, and then you would just assume everyone's going to know exactly what you're saying. You will come to the big shock.
Exactly. And, you know, here's the thing, like, you know, learning the language makes sense. Like, if you're going to have a scholarship to go to this country, yeah, you should at least know some basic native language.
I think it's going to fall down to more. A lot of people go to work in Japan thinking it'll be easy and then realizing that, oh shit, this is a lot harder here.
Yeah.
So covering finances and that for a student, that's really good. As long as the student doesn't have to get any other income from anywhere else. But they won't be able to go on like sightseeing tours all the time. It will be full on.
Well, plus,
I never got the scholarship I wanted to when I was doing my university.
Oops.
Well, that's fine. I can tell you this though, as somebody who has been to Japan, Yes, they do have a respectable command of the English language, even though they don't use it much. It's mostly, you know, it's mostly to help the help people navigate around around town, like train stations, so and so, and yeah, information desks.
Yeah, it's like Duolingo signs and stuff like that.
That's right.
I've seen that a lot in other countries, and like it could be in India, China, Europe, all over the place.
Yeah, and when you do get food, it's, you know, they have a visual, like visual models of the food you're getting. So on the window in the shop front.
Oh, I would assume they have like the price in the local currency, and then like American dollars next to it, like the equivalent. Have you ever seen
that? Well, I wouldn't think it would be American dollars next to it, because they wouldn't really accept that as their legal tender.
No, a lot of countries only
accept
do.
It in yen.
A lot of countries do, though.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Especially across Europe. It's like, oh, it's 10 euros or, you know, 12 USD.
All right. Well, you don't get that in England, I can say that for sure.
Yeah, that's like all over the place, man.
Nah. I mean, it's largely all, you know, yen and yen and yen, but but I mean, you love it there. If you ever do go to Japan, and when things do begin opening up, you will love it there.
It's definitely a place I've always wanted to go to.
Yes. And I'm not going to lie, I actually want to go there again and fly my suit to Japan. I must.
Oh, God.
I must.
Another come country on. Again.
Just to get me over there, I'll come be your handler. I mean, even with this situation, though, it's like, given how people act these days, who's to say someone's not going to be like, oh, this will be a great opportunity, and then blow off the whole scholarship just to think it's a free holiday that Netflix is paying for?
Isn't that what, like, 50% of college students even do? Like, bro, I can't believe I'm out of my parents' house. No, let's go to the beach, bro!
Yeah, and then they realize, you know, God, like, I think they'll be in shock too when Japanese colleges don't work the same way as American colleges too. Like,
God, yeah.
Because American colleges, I'm sure you've like you know about the whole frat boy drinking shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, and I think that's gonna fly. Like, you know, like that. Other than that, though, last comment. Crystal Lava, I heard Tokyo is like an adult Disneyland. That is a yes and a no. Yes, there is a Disneyland in Japan just off of Tokyo. There actually is one. Kind of. Like, you know, like a lot of offices, too. Like, I'm sure you can find this Pokemon office and so on.
That's somewhere why around Tokyo,
the Tokyo area, the Pokemon Center. And then you have like, and I never went to those places during my visit in Japan like all those years ago. I know there's like the Weeb Quarter in Akihabara, which makes, you know, the whole Tokyo is the, you know, the Disneyland. So, yeah, you are not wrong, not entirely, but. Yeah, you love it. And I think it's also really great to venture outside of, you know, the cities of Japan, because it's actually so, it's easier than you think. The trains are so good, so, you know, get outside, go out, go around.
So, just a quick question.
Yeah.
When you were in Japan, did you get to go on the bullet train?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Was it like super quick? Like, was it like a roller coaster or something?
Not a roller coaster. It was just really fast. You know, Tokyo to Osaka in 3 hours. Give or take.
How was the inertia?
Ah, the ride was smooth.
You didn't feel like an astronaut, like, accelerating as you're approaching.
No, it's a fast train, but it's very, very stable.
Wow. Cool.
Things run really well, and, you know. Yeah, like I said, it's easy to go around, go, you know.
Right.
Although, if it were Mevo, I'd prefer Osaka. Compared to Tokyo, but that's just me. But yeah, I guess just to kind of get back on track and sort this whole thing out, what do you think about the whole, you know, going out to study weeb stuff with your foreigner stuff and bringing anime back home to your home country?
I'll be honest, the US already has something like that. It's called the Disney's Rules of Animation. What the hell's wrong with that? Disney's not using it anymore.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's already like Western animation, so why? I mean, I understand that it's a nice thing to learn, like the different thing, and it's a good opportunity. But Westerners already have their kind of anime; they don't need to take it from Japan and then make it Western anyway, because that's what will end up happening eventually.
Okay. Yeah, I see your point. Where, like, I kind of think of it as, like, you know, cultural, like, not pluralism, but, you know, just kind of like learning from each other. Like, you know, how different artists can be inspired by different styles. Like, let's say if I wanted to make a character that comes from a particular region, well, if I have experience in that particular region, I can design their character to look more like that area, you know, like let's say if I wanted to make some samurai character and I happen to live in Japan for like 6 months, I'm like, well, now I have an idea about their culture. I can kind of like make the character, you know, look like that. That'd be kind of cool. And, you know, vice versa. Same thing if, you know, people lived in America during, I don't know, the Revolutionary War or something crazy like that. You know, who knows? So yeah, I think it's very interesting to get, you know, different art perspectives from different regions and different cultures.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Like, you know, or maybe it's just Netflix trying to, you know, jumping on the whole, you know, anime gravy train because it's more, you know, getting popular, and Western cartoons are just, with only a few exceptions, yeah, pretty much. You know.
Well, I mean, that's the difference. Like, there's a difference between the style, and then there's like the style, you know, like anime or particular Western or
anime is just a thing. It has its definitive style, and you just know it when you see it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I got a feeling this is going to come down to Fakeimation.
Okay. Yeah. Who knows? But I guess other than that, though. Yeah, mixed opinions about how this is going to work, though. And we'll see if they succeed. You know, like Americanized anime. Or... Oh. Anyway, yeah. So, shall we move on to the next item?
Please.
Yes. Yes, we will. I've got this on for you. Netflix adapting Red War books into animated movies, TV series. Okay, there's a bit of history on this one too. Like, there was in the late 90s, a Red War cartoon based on three different books done by, it was animated by, you know, I can't remember what it was, Nelvana, what was it? And it was done in the hand of like more traditional animation. And that series stopped at three books. So now, I don't, you know, for this to come back, it's proven interesting though. But yeah, for those who don't know what Redwall is, it's a really popular children's fantasy book series. It's been spanned on like since the late 80s, and the late author Brian Jakes passed away in 2011. And yeah, sad feels when that happened, because I was literally hooked on those books. Now, I know I got into them late, but that's how I got into furry.
So basically, it's just going to turn up to the whole meme about the Netflix adaptation. How is this going to turn out?
Well, let's just hope they don't bastardize it.
Yeah. Well, is there a trailer out for it? Like, do we know, like, what kind of the artwork is going to look like? Like, from this picture, I don't know if that's from the particular series.
Right now, I've not seen any trailers as of late. What I do know, it's just Netflix is just cut a deal with the book publisher's Random House. And, yeah.
Okay,
we don't know how this is going to look like. We don't know what kind of animation is going to be like. You know, are they going to either do like a hand-painted animation or like 3D models? I don't know yet. What's the aesthetic? I don't know.
It would be interesting if they did the hand-painted things.
Yes. It actually would make it really, really more spot on, get the feel correct to it, though.
Yeah.
Cost.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest with you, that would be so much more perfect because it's really hand-painted animation just seems to be such a dying thing.
Hmm.
Hang on. All right, let's read a little bit of this stuff first. Netflix announced it has enlisted Patrick McHale, creator of Cartoon Network's Over the Garden Wall, to write the feature film.
Yes.
The film has been based on Jackson's first book in the series Red Wall. Netflix is also developing an event series based on the character of Martin the Warrior. Ooh. You know something? I have...
That is amazing.
Go on. You know something? That's fascinating. People have tried for many years to get an animation of Red Wall, an adaptation in animation. Like, and Nelvana's was pretty much the only one that we know of that's been kind of the most successful, you could say. Like, I knew, like, I remember there was there was a DeviantArt project to get one of the Red Wall books to be turned into a movie. But that never really took off.
I don't know, man. Have you ever seen Over the Garden Wall?
Nope.
This guy knows what he's doing, trust me.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, look up Over the Garden Wall.
I've not seen that show.
I have high expectations.
It's not like Over the Hedge, is it?
No.
No, man. It's awesome. I'm not going to get into detail.
You know what? If this is hand painted like it is, though, I think my faith has been restored.
It is. It is. Yeah.
Until they make it live action.
No. No.
I mean, that's how it is these days, isn't it? Take something beloved and ruin it with live action.
That's a Disney thing. This would have to get taken over by Disney.
Ugh. Don't give them any ideas.
It's not like they can afford to buy Netflix, is it?
Next thing, Disney owns Netflix.
Wait, what?
So the next thing to come.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. It's a meme. No, then that means the cartoon and animation world is doomed.
Oh, God.
Because of Disney's mega monopoly. But yeah, I think if this was true, and if I was really into this whole Netflix thing, this is going to really be good for Netflix's portfolio.
I think so.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it would be, especially if it's such a thing that so many people really loved and enjoyed. Then if they do it right and they play the cards how they need to be played, then it will be very beneficial for them.
Yes, I mean, Red Wall, the books themselves have sold 30 million copies globally and have...
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I own a fair bit of his collection as well. Like, of course, that's what got me hooked into furry and that stuff, so... Hey, it's going full circle.
Let's see, a tweet from Mr. NX says, "Big news! The creator of Over the Garden Wall is working on a Red Wall adaptation for Netflix! I'm already preparing myself for the feast scenes. And then they showed the picture of that thingamabobber.
Look, I gotta say, like, if this is how the animation's looking like, it's great. Like, you can see, like, from the elements of the show, like the tapestry on the right side of it. And
oh yeah, the light and shadows. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Hope they have a lot of potatoes and molasses.
Hmm. I mean, not just like the crappy 3D CGI that have been used these days.
Here's the thing: I think they can pull this off. Like, and I know, like, if they can capture like the author's love for food, like they have definitely gotten the spirit of the show spot on, because the author goes into food like in such exquisite detail, like in his literary work. It just, yeah, like it's not Redwall unless you have like a really big feast, isn't?
So that's what half of it's going to be, just a camera pan of a big meal.
Yes.
Every tiny little bit of detail, every drop of gravy.
Gosh, that actually makes me want like one of those Red Bull recipe books trying to, you know, recreate their food. So, yeah, like, but of all of this, though, like, I have a feeling Redwall is going to span out to a really long series because they have a lot of books to work with. They have 21, actually.
21? Bloody hell.
That's right. And, you know, if they had, like, the stamina and the willpower to do, you know, an adaptation of each series, then, yeah. Of each book, then it's going to work.
But yeah, if it becomes popular and they make plenty of money from it, then they most likely will.
Oh, sure.
Well, they already sold over 30 million copies of the original story, so, yeah.
It's not just the original story. It's most likely got to be the original, the entire series, so.
Well, I know, but they're still going to make money off the brand, though, if that's what I'm saying.
They will. They are going to make.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think as well, like, this is going to create, you know, usher in a great new furrying. Let's be real with ourselves here.
Oh god, the furries are taking over.
Yes.
I mean, of course, this would have been, like, super duper popular for, like, early, you know, the early gen furries of the early 90s, man. Come on. It's just, I don't know, maybe this, you know, what do furries in the current year have to grow up with? Fucking V-Stars?
Twitter.
Oh, never forget about Warner Brothers. Road Rovers.
What's Bugs that? Bunny.
Wait, oh. You don't know what Road Rovers is? Damn.
No.
All right. Hey, Jolt, do we have any live comments going on?
Not at the moment, no. What do you guys think? Like, is this
comments, concerns? Nothing
not at the moment. But what do you guys think? Like, is this something you'd literally, you know, pick up and watch? Is this...
I'll be watching it when it's available.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Alrighty.
Yeah, just give it enough time, and then maybe it'll pick up. It will, you know, become it.
Well, I mean, I've got Netflix already, so it's always worth a shot to give something a try.
What do you normally do on Netflix? Like, watch Beastars and stuff?
Never watched it, never planned to.
Fair enough.
I watch stuff like Lucifer and supernatural or horror stuff.
Oh, gosh. Like, what do you think about... Did you watch a furry episode on Lucifer?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
I've heard of it, but I don't know what happened in it.
Oh, yeah, that was this because there was a punch-up at a FurCon.
Wait a minute, was that the one where they went to a woman's house and there was a bunch of raccoons in her room, or was that like another episode of something else?
I don't know, but there was a punch-up at a FurCon in fursuits.
That might have been CSI. Yeah. No, maybe not CSI, maybe like X-Files. Crap, I don't know.
No, CSI, when they did their furry thing, it was a...
No, I know about that, but, like, there was one episode, like, where they went to someone's room and, like, they found, it wasn't X-Files. Because, like, that's not weird enough.
We're not weird enough for the X-Files?
It's going to come to me as soon as I get some reminder. No,
there's like a furry. Bunch
of plushies in this person's
room.
There's
like a furry alien thing I mishmash that just becomes like, oh, no, these things, like, they're aliens too.
The there was like a whole bunch of like plushies all over the bed, and they're like, oh, it's not that weird, but they're like, yeah, but they're like 25. Like, why do they have so many plushies in their room? Or some weird shit like that.
Jesus Christ.
I don't remember. Maybe it was a CSI episode, actually. I don't know. I don't remember. I tried to block that out of my memory.
Nice.
That's how.
But it was kind of relatable. I do have a lot of questions.
All right. So, we've got one other topic for you. Another one on the show. I think this is a good one. Dungeons and Dragons, Stuff of Legends. A new YouTube series with puppets and role-playing.
Just yet more things for random people to get offended over for no reason.
We'll get to that. First off, yes, this is, you know... One take on Dungeons & Dragons. Funnier. Okay. And, yeah. And... Yeah. So, if you look at the cover art, you'll see that there's, you know, a common party of puppets.
So, basically, the Muppets go medieval.
Yes. Yeah, you'd be perfectly on point with that one. And, yeah, it is quite interesting too, like considering, you know, puppet shows. How common are they? Like, wait, do you ever watch one, or is this like something that's more like theater? Like, you go up to a theater and you watch.
Well, I like watching the Muppets, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, now, I just love when the crew of Sesame Street goes on. On a quest to go slay the dragon in the cave who stole the treasure. That's just the best episodes.
I'm sorry, but that sounds like a bad porno.
Well, that sounds exactly...
God,
like
you had to make it furry. Right now.
That's what they're doing, the D&D puppets. Where's my buddy Big Bird with his big-ass mace? Trying to slay the trolls.
I thought you were going to say something much different given what we're talking about now.
When you're at the dragon, the question... When you're at the dragon, though, you have to ask extra crispy or original recipe.
I mean, fried chicken is pretty good.
I mean, it's basically something FD, fried dragon. But then again, how do you fry a, you know...
So...
Can you, you know what?
Sorry, my
let's
understanding
put a
about
of like yeah of how you can fry a dragon, but let's run with it. Let's make it. So, it's possible.
With this whole thing, from what I understand, people got upset because one of the characters has big breasts.
Correct, this one here, and it's
wait
yes.
Why
as
are
you
they
guessed
upset
it,
about that?
It was on Twitter. But here's
of
the thing.
Of course, you just Twitter to get offended.
Here's the thing. Joven Shire is one of the guys who are in charge of the Staff of Legends. And he says on his Twitter, fun Staff of Legends track, I wanted the actors to have full control over the design of the characters. One of the other guys, Brandon, wanted a fish... Let's look at the cast. Brandon
Wait,
Rogers.
So he wanted to have the biggest boobs that a puppet ever had. Okay.
Yeah, and get I this, mean, though. Shannon right, Malcolm was very sure. specific, saying she wanted Ari to have the biggest boobs a puppet can have. And he's the funny thing. Shannon okay. Malcolm.
Yeah, so good for you, I guess.
Yeah, and so, she yeah, and she specifically sexuality. Created, you know, a character. And look at the name. Like, they're not taking themselves seriously. Areola Borealis.
Oh, kidding, right?
I didn't even know the name of that.
See, this is why people don't look at context before they react to things online. I mean, look at her for crying out loud. Seriously.
Oh, God.
You're going to turn around and tell this particular individual that she can't have her character the way she wants it.
Right.
It's like Beyonce in... was it Beyonce the one who did the gazelle in Zootopia?
Shakira.
That'd be Shakira.
Yeah. She wanted her character to be that to thin.
Yes. Yeah, I know she did.
But yeah, the people behind the show, when they were making it, they didn't want that. And yet, same sort of thing here, but reversed. The voice actor wants something chunky and, well, comical, and yet people are losing their shit over it. I mean, you look at what is the circumstances behind.
I don't think that's the problem here. No, she didn't want her to be thick for the sake of being thick. She just thought that her character wasn't representative of something, you know, natural. So she kind of just stepped up a little bit. In this particular case, I don't really see a problem with.
It's like the character, you know, it's your character, your fantasy, you know, who, like, you could, it's akin to, like, you know, if you play, play any other game like this, like an RPG, use the character creation tool and you mod out the how you want it to be, right?
Well, exactly, yeah. It's your character, make it how you want it.
This is just that, like, and I think the humor is also good in this. It must be too. Also, little observation too. Slippy Richardson.
I was just thinking that myself, yeah. Because if speaking of the name about Areola Borealis,
yeah, like what, dude?
Slippy Dick.
Yeah, that was.
Someone has been watching. What was that show called? Captain Pugwash. I swear, this reminds me of Captain Pugwash.
Okay.
God, you don't know Captain Pugwash?
I haven't.
Oh, man. You think this is bad? You should see that one. Semen stains. Masturbate. Oh, masturbates. Come over here. I need your help.
I mean, this is almost as bad as, calling breastfeeding a chest feeding. That's what we have to
No.
Chest feeding? You are kidding me.
Very important that we do that. Don't want to be discriminatory.
Nah.
Because men can breastfeed too. I mean, chest feed.
Men can chest feed. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no.
Horrible stuff. Ugh, all that gendered language.
You know, that Jesus also reminds me, too, how I'm still bummed, like, the 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons with the Dragonborn character. I think we did cover it on the show at one point in an episode. They de-boobified it. I mean, now I get it. Like, I get it. You know, real reptilian anatomy and all that. That's understandable. That's fine. But still.
But it's a land of make-believe. If someone wants to have something their way to have fun, to do what they want, then let them. Stop trying to stop people having fun.
Hey, is it safe, you know, is your suspension of disbelief ruined when you, like, look at an Argonian in the Elder Scrolls? A female one?
Nope. Mainly because I wasn't looking at the female ones, but still.
I don't know, man. Something about those lizard boobies.
Well, we all know your favorite book.
Maybe you do.
Yep. But, I mean, it just goes to show how people have to find something to be offended over. Because this is clearly a joke. It's a bit of fun. I mean, you can tell by the name and how they've designed the character, how they wanted it. But no, people have to get offended.
Well, let's see what people are actually offended all about.
yeah, at least now, like, there's people who say, you know, it's actually quite funny that, you know, if that they've given the, you know, the cast, like, perfect, you know, full control over how the characters are designed and such. But yeah, it's like same thing too. Like people who got mad at the Mandalorian boob arm until they realized it was designed by a woman.
Oh, God,
this was designed by, you know, this character was designed by a woman too. Shanna Malcolm.
Female form. Yikes. And let's see, what do we have about Mr. Screwtrap here? They say, wait, hold on, scroll up a little bit. Nope.
It's weird. Scroll it's up. Just. Sorry.
Oh, they said something really funny.
Up?
Almost there. Almost.
I can't hear you too well over here. Just a sec.
You're saying almost there.
Oh, never mind. They were just.
There it was?
Yeah, okay, here we go. Okay. Those are still bad design because they lead to the sternum and draw attraction to the breast. Oh, you can't deny that. God forbid the design draws attention to the breasts. Oh, my virgin eyes. Yikes. Mm. Oh, no. I can't deal with it.
Oh, God forbid the point of a design does what it's supposed to.
I thought that was just so hypocritical. I'm like, bro, really? Come on, get real. That's silly.
She did it wrong. She tweeted about breasts. You've got to call it chest.
Duh.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, and here I thought women wanted to be all empowered and stuff. They're like, hurry for the sexual revolution. I'm going to go wear my pussy hat and not care. And then they.
Well, exactly. The fight for one thing. Objectified. But then as soon as it becomes, oh, if a man designed this, oh, no, it's wrong. A woman does it, oh, that's all right. But if a man says breastfeeding, no, you're doing it wrong. It's got to be chest feeding. Well, pick a side and stand there. You can't flip flop between the two.
Exactly.
Gosh, you know what though? You know what I love about this though, to get back on track, is the old, you know, I miss too, old school power fantasies as well. You know, for men, you know, where they had, you know, they had these girls wearing chainmail bikinis.
So, out of curiosity, when was the last D&D like movie or TV show?
Oh, I'm sure they've got many. I just don't go looking for them. This one's just the YouTube, you know, puppet series, is what this is.
Oh, cool.
Me, it's just a few YouTubers having fun, but no, that's not allowed.
I mean, heck, well, it's... Yeah, it's even as official as ever. Like, it's on the Dungeons & Dragons website. So, yeah. But you know what, though? If this thing has can solicit that sort of thing, yeah, I'm down. I want in. I want to watch it.
Yeah, I think this is something I'll end up having to watch because it just sounds like it'll be funny.
I mean, yeah, I get it. Dungeons & Dragons is currently in a really mixed bag at the moment because of the current route that they've been taking. You know, with the whole disability stuff and so on.
I've not heard about that.
And, you know, and going on with the whole combat wheelchairs.
Jesus, I think Christ. The Ghostbusters Extreme did it better.
I mean, Sly Cooper did it okay with a combat wheelchair. Ish. Still. You know.
A combat wheelchair. Oh my bonkers. What?
I mean, it's one thing that you want to live your fantasy like this, but would you really want to live your fantasy like this? I wouldn't.
Exactly. The point of fantasy is for it to be a fantasy, not for someone else to tell you, no, you can't have it this way, you've got to have it this way. But then that's not fantasizing at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the escapism, that, you know, suspension of disbelief. Yeah. That's the core essence of it all, really.
What's yeah, that? For sure.
Yeah. You know what, though?
Yeah.
It's actually all right, though. What do you guys think? Like, I know we're a little bit way short, but I guess, you know, it's sometimes...
We're a little bit short, but there was another interesting news topic that I kind of wanted to ask you guys about. Did you see what just happened the other day? Or I guess it would be this morning. Perseverance landed on Mars.
Oh, right.
How crazy is that? We have...
So they have a new... So this is the new Mars Rover 2.0.
The Mars Rover 2.0, yeah. Like, we got, like, robots on Mars again. I'm sure, Curiosity is very upset about that.
No, it's gonna have a friend now.
But damn, right? Like, yeah, Mars landing, Perseverance, how cool is that?
Moments before touchdown among, you know, new images of Red Planet.
Awesome. Right.
So, this new rover is going to be on the Martian surface for quite a while. Going to be conducting all kinds of scientific experiments, and here we have some of the first images from the Martian surface. It kind of looks like a rocky desert, but like, look at how clear these are. It's amazing.
That is brilliant.
I wonder if they set it up with a Sony camera module.
I mean, maybe Sony built their camera. Who knows?
Sony make great cameras.
They really do, yeah.
So, it's really clear, like you can see a lot out of this, though. Like, wow.
It's like I can touch it.
Yeah, look at this. Cool.
Yeah, and this is what Mars, yeah.
So now we're entering a different stage of space exploration. At least, like, when it comes to Martian exploration, because, you know, Curiosity has been on the planet for over a decade and a half, I believe. It's been a while.
Yeah, and like, there was so much clear imagery than what we got last time. It's just amazing to know.
Now we got all kinds of new equipment and all these kinds of new robots going there. And I don't know if Elon is going to make his little colony or whatnot. Who knows? But
all I'm sure
it's a common, new stuff is happening. It's a very common thing to wonder, you know, what... Everybody always says, you know, we're all going to colonize Mars at some point.
Well, what's really interesting, too, is just in the past couple of weeks, China actually landed one of their rovers on the dark side of the moon. I believe that was 2.5, maybe 3 weeks ago, something like that.
More, right?
Yeah, so, like, they're starting to get into space as well. This is the future, guys.
The space race is on.
Yeah. Hopefully one day we can make another manned mission to the moon. Like, in our lifetime? Like, how cool would that be?
That'd be cool, man. Logistically, apparently you have to wait till a particular point of the year. Or every couple of years, apparently, Mars is closer to Earth, and that's when you jump over.
Yeah, I think it's like every 6 months or so, like that's when they get closer to Earth. It's like in their summer stage or something. It's not that far.
I take a closer look at this photo and I think I've seen places like this here on Earth and they're really not interesting to visit.
I mean,
can the rover take a clear picture of Earth?
That, like, we go to another, like, world, like, if astronauts landed on the moon again, because the last time they did was back in, like, 72.
Yeah, and they realized about how shitty the terrain is for vehicles.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy place to be, but hell, people could there still is, be there. I mean, that's there, really awesome.
There is actual plans to visit one of Mars's moons to look for, well, any gases that would have escaped the planet when it was being bombarded in the early days.
Phobos, Deimos.
Yeah.
I think Phobos. Deimos is a smaller one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That'd be cool to go to Phobos.
Gosh, the first thing, next thing we need is to figure out how we're going to get people onto Mars at the moment.
What was the name of that actor?
I mean, of all places, there is some other planets that have been discovered that are very similar to Earth, so would we really want to choose Mars of all places? I get that it's close, but I mean, it's moving into a desert wasteland.
Yeah, Mars is kind of cold. There might have been life there. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it was still not explored. Years ago, enough.
There could have been some fish or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah. But who's to say that there still isn't? Because there's no definite proof that there isn't, and there's no definite proof that there is.
Exactly.
The universe is such a wide, vast area of everything. You never know what we'll eventually find when equipment does get better to travel further out.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, who knew that Pluto had a giant heart? And Pluto just wanted to love everybody.
Yep.
Do you remember back in the day, like a couple years ago, when we saw the first images of Pluto? And it was like just a little buddy holding a heart. It was so cute. Oh my god. Pluto is totally a planet. Fuck you, scientists. Pluto's
you know,
planet, okay.
I'm kind of wondering why NASA hasn't contacted Bruce Willis to go drilling on Mars yet.
Good question. They should. Maybe he demands too much, like, celebrity pay. Who knows?
Wait, you haven't seen Armageddon then?
Of course I have. But, like,
Okay.
Maybe he requires a little bit more pay than they're used to if they got their funding cut. You know, I don't know.
Well, Ben Affleck could also go with him.
Maybe.
All right. But overall, though, I think it's a real big step now for space exploration, what's just happened.
Oh, I really think so, yeah.
Look, now this,
definitely, this... like, within our lives, we're going to see people land on Mars. How cool would that be?
Sorry,
oh, that would be cool.
But for me, it's not going to be until they actually send someone to go around the moon, around Mars, and come back before I'm going to be interested. Because at the moment, they're just still sending robots out there.
I think in the next couple decades, at least, you know, they're going to send someone there.
And the issue is more.
Yeah, why?
Remember, back in like the late 60s, they sent someone to the moon, and they had less computing power than somebody's iPhone. And they still did it.
Yeah. People went to the moon with nothing more than a calculator, a pocket calculator.
Exactly. Yeah, like, your iPhone has more computing power than the entire NASA institution back in the 1960s.
My current iPhone has more computing power than my first computer.
Exactly. So they could totally send someone to Mars. Maybe. I think.
There you go, if ever. Just go sit in your car and see if you'll be able to last against the coldness on Mars.
Right. So, what do you think? I guess that's a wrap for this week, isn't it?
Seems so.
I guess
yeah,
so.
It's a little bit of a slowery, but hey. Not too bad. And I think, you know, like, might be exciting to see where this all heads together, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. So, what do you think so far just about this week? Closing statements?
Well, I definitely think it'll be really interesting to see what's going to come out of this new trip to Mars to find out the more high-def pictures and to see what it will hold for the future. That's something I'm definitely thinking we've got to keep the eye on for that.
Yeah. You know, maybe there is like potential to actually, you know, to settle on Mars. There is potential, you know.
Yep.
For anyone out there who doesn't like this D&D thing, the whole Muppet thing, don't ever watch Crank Yankers.
But honestly, though, I think the Muppet thing was just going to be super duper tame. But yeah. But yeah, Evira.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed this week. I also did just wanted to mention, rest in peace to a conservative hero, Rush Limbaugh. He's done a lot for radio, independent voice. God bless him and his family.
Mm. Yeah, that was hard to miss, though. It's
very hard to miss indeed. Yeah, he's done a lot. He's a good man.
It signified the end of an era.
Unfortunately. But... Well, aside from that, I hope everyone had a fantastic night listening to our show as much as we had much fun making it. Joel?
Indeed, as ever. It's a pleasure to have you guys on, as always. And our episodes are always available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, BitChute, and more platforms further down the line. This is us signing off. Farewell, and until next time.
Bye.